How's it going, everybody? So today we're going to do a podcast about regret. A few days ago, I wrote an article, and just as a side note, there's a lot more happening over on Substack than is happening here in the podcast feed, at least for right now, and I'd love to have you guys over there. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about the last article. My dad is here, and we're just going to discuss the idea of regret.
I think it's a good time of year to be looking at this topic. We got a new year. There's an old saying that goes like this, that people die in their 20s and they bury them in their 80s. A lot of times we forget, or I guess we give up on looking forward to things.
Yeah.
And I think regret plays a big part of that, and we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So first I'm going to start with just reading the piece, and then we'll get into it. In a few weeks I'll be 30, and lately I've had a looming sense of regret for all the things not accomplished and not tried. When thinking about regret, this question came to mind: how accurately are you remembering the past? When I was about 18, I would frequent this Christian bookstore and look through the newly released CDs. In those days, Tooth and Nail Records was leading much of the heavy scene, and anticipating release or finding something unexpected was a great joy. Anyway, every time I'd go in the store, I'd have great banter with the girl who worked there. We were both the artsy kid from very conservative Christian families. We both occupy this very unique space of being high in openness, yet respecting the structure that we existed in. There was a moment in one of our conversations where it felt like I was supposed to make the move and ask her out, or give her my number, or ask for her number, or something. But I didn't. I told myself maybe she was just a cool person, and who was I to assume it was anything more? It's one of the biggest regrets of my life. Here's the problem with this story, though. There are a few details that my regret leaves out. Even if I had made that move, I was in no position to turn that into a sustained, healthy relationship. I was years away from a basic understanding of myself. My brokenness would have translated it into a suffocating, awkward cycle of worshiping her, being weirdly needy towards her, and then worshiping her again. I wouldn't have ever even seen her as her. I would have idealized her into a transcendent archetype. In her, I would have hoped to escape from the wounds of my father, of my own cowardice, of malevolence itself. In fact, if we're being truly honest, I cannot say with total certainty that today's version of me could even handle that situation. 18-year-old me never stood a chance. Earlier, I stated we were both the artsy kid from very conservative Christian families, but that may not even be true. It's a quick deduction of seeing her wild colored hair, piercings, and seeing her working at a Christian bookstore. I'd say the odds of that are good, but the point is, our regrets contain many self-filled gaps, which simplify the stories we tell ourselves and help them reach peak self-loathing melodrama. Are you truly a permanent, worthless failure, or are you a wounded, self-pity-prone, decent human who overestimates himself to preserve a perpetual cycle of failure? Because in doing so, you get to enter into the dark romanticism of self-sabotage. Self-sabotage being one of the great topics of my life, I guess. In one way, it feels better to ruin your own life and fulfill fate than to reveal the small but true person you were/are. May God grant us the courage to present him our broken pieces without self-protecting lies and sleights of hand, and may he grant us the humility to pick them back up and continue to iterate. So, I don't know what to get into first. I guess the real heart of this, of all this, is this idea that whatever your regrets are, there are probably some details in the way it plays in your head that aren't accurate, that simplify the story, that make the story more dramatic, that make it something it never truly was. And so, by simplifying the story that in this situation, I was 100% coward, and that's all there was to it. It's more dramatic, and it serves a kind of self-sabotage purpose more fulfillingly than if I was just more honest and could remember it in a little bit more detail. And perhaps that happens with each of us and the regrets that we have. That's not to say that it's not real or that you can talk it away. No, it was a failure. And there were many times of cowardice that I do have regrets over, but it wasn't as simple as the hyper dramatic version in my head. And in some ways, I'm still getting to a place of stability right now. But yet feel guilt over, you know, not having been the person I'm not even yet 10 years ago or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just any thoughts on that?
Well, here's something that I hear in the article and I agree with, and that is it's basically honesty. Am I willing to live with this cold heart honesty? And when I think of the past, a lot of times in my regrets, I fall into a similar trap of glorifying some of the details, yeah, and even magnifying some of them, some of the different details.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful as we go forward into a new year that we don't stand, you know, the place we're standing now, which is, let's call it point A, as we go towards point B, is at least let's look at it in a real honest way, take a new look at it honestly, so that we can, as we go forward, we go more direct in the direction that makes sense for us. And
the other thing, yeah, and this is probably true for most people too, like, there were times when I did take risks, and I don't really think about them ever, you know? Like, there just are. Like, there was, I remember times when I would approach someone and I would make the move and all that. And I have very little positive feeling associated with that. Now, I have very strong feelings towards the times, towards the negative times. But I don't have that, I don't have very strong feelings towards when I did do the thing. And yeah, I think that's very common for, you know, just the way that human nature works. But the odds are, whatever your regrets are, you would have to first, usually it seems to me that a lot of our regrets hit this kind of peak, super like melodramatic tone because we first inflate who we used to be. Then because we think of ourselves too highly in the past, the failure is a bigger failure than it actually was because the gap is bigger when we replay it than it was in reality. When in reality, I was a weaker person than I'd like to remember then. Mm-hmm. And so the lack of courage was not as big a deal as it... The gap is not as big because I was not the person I'm picturing back then. I may not even be the person I'm picturing now, but I wasn't then. Mm-hmm. And I was really not in a great way. And so, you know, there's a different part of me that at times thinks, you know, I'm glad to be alive, you know, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad for the few good things that are in my life, you know, and there's, I don't know, I guess in our culture, when people talk about things like self-acceptance or whatever, it ends up feeling like very limp-wristed and kind of fake. It ends up feeling like, people are saying, like, go buy yourself some new shoes or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this very, like, thin thing that doesn't mean anything, and it's sort of like, treat yourself or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm, there's something about it which rings hollow, but it is trying to get at something real, and I think that real thing is, at least for us as believers, is allow myself to be under the mercy of God and allow God to show mercy, mm-hmm, to me, and allow other people to show mercy to me, and allow that the world exists in a world where I occasionally fail, and mm-hmm, that is the place that I live, and that is okay, and that, you know, things can be learned from, and in the future can be stronger. We can be stronger than we were, but who were you really?
Right.
And, you know, maybe we can find some gratitude for still being here and for, you know, life at all.
Maybe you listeners might regret maybe something in a financial world. I regret not putting $1,000 into Walmart stock in the 1980s.
Yeah.
That would have turned me into a millionaire today, but back in the 80s, I was young. I was in school. And I just didn't think that way. I wasn't, you know, regret sometimes You know, sometimes it is really a quickest way to sabotage yourself,
well,
your personal confidence into what's going on today. And if I think about it properly, I can use it as a stepping stone. But most of the time, it messes with my inventory, and it makes me kind of get to where I think way back to the sabotage. I think way too negative about my past, about things, mistakes I've made.
Yeah.
And that I'm sure everyone relates to some financial thing they wish they invested in or whatever. And that can just be like this whole point of this whole conversation. It can sour things and then be a negative. And the truth is I've got to be careful that I don't sabotage myself or don't shoot myself down over something in the past, because in the 80s, I was coming out of high school, and, you know, I really wasn't financially thinking really beyond Friday.
Yeah.
You know, so I couldn't think, you know, 30 years later, I couldn't get to Friday, you know. But I can literally beat myself up today over that.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the impulse, right? So there are several things which would drive it. One of them would be that, when I feel kind of on edge, I am more alert, and so I feel less vulnerable. When, like, there's something about the self-sabotage impulse that when I'm already going to beat you to, when I'll beat you to the negative thing that could happen, I feel kind of safer.
That's interesting.
And so I think that is maybe part of... Sorry, those are my cats. They go in and out of the cabinets. It's really annoying. Hey, stop. So maybe it's like... It's even like shown in scientific like stats and stuff that when you're really anxious, you notice a threat faster than when you're not.
Right.
And so I think that's part of it. I think part of it is like vanity, that like if I'm really anxious and cynical, I'll know the shirt I'm wearing isn't cool before you ever notice that it isn't cool. And so I'll be ahead of you I'll be protecting myself before that ever becomes necessary. You know what I mean? And so I think it's a response to, you know, different kinds of fear, I guess. And so the opposite of that is... I guess gratitude and just a really sober mind about the idea that things change, which is real, generally happens very slow. And there's something, and we watched a video about this the other day, but there's something humiliating about admitting where you really are, you know? Like, there's something embarrassing about the idea to me that not only could I not have had a great relationship with that girl at 18, but I'm not sure I could now. That is like there's something embarrassing about that. Mm-hmm. But how long do I want to learn the same lesson, right? So if it is how it is, then so be it. But the allowance of change to be very slow, and allowing yourself to be submissive to someone who can guide your growth and stuff like that. This is what, you know, one of the things I think is so valuable about counseling and therapy and all that stuff is that it's someone that's not really that involved in your daily life. And so they can just point out things that you're a little bit too close to.
Mm-hmm.
But I once heard this great quote, and I wish I could actually remember it because it's better the real way. But the paraphrase is something like, the one common trait I've seen in all very successful people is that they aren't embarrassed about learning new things. They're not embarrassed about not knowing something.
That's great.
And whether I become very successful or not, that it's just a thing which prevents resentment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And whatever happens to my life, may God use it, and may I never, you know, turn to resentment, and may I always be... you know, open to the mercy of God and the mercy of other people. And and be grateful for what I do have and what is good, as an antidote to sabotage and domination or whatever.
It's interesting we're talking about this today. It's a few days before a new year, and there was an auction, a equipment auction. I run a landscape business, and I am so tempted to go down there and look and throw my hat in the ring on things that I don't necessarily need. I don't need anything right now.
Yeah.
And but it wouldn't be bad to put $3,000 on an IRA right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So back
yeah.
to my Walmart thing. I mean, yeah. part of it is, back to the original part of or the start of this conversation, can I be completely honest and feel safe enough so that I can look at maybe changing the way I am? I tend to be way over emotional about the money in my life or situation. And so if I bought something right now, it would do something for me versus the delay of putting something into a long-term investment. So anyway, it's interesting. And I did not go to the auction, Zach. Yeah. I'm a winner today. I didn't do it. Yeah. And because I knew if I went there, I'd be tempted to spend money I don't have, or I don't need to go in that direction with. And hey, who knows? Maybe today I'll put more money on an IRA. I think that's probably a good idea.
So, in closing, just to wrap with the core idea, so that maybe hopefully it stays with you. How accurately, in your regrets, how accurately are you remembering who you were and who they were? Are you allowing yourself to simplify the story so that it hits a different level of sabotage and drama? And may we not give in to that temptation.
Yes.
All right, guys. I love you guys. We'll see you soon.